Today on Radio Gorgeous, I'm welcoming on a positive mindset coach, life check therapist, columnist, motivational speaker, international corporate trainer. She is the author of Life Check and the Later Data, From Heartbreak to Happiness, as well as being a founding member of Happy People Solutions. She is Katrina Love. Don't you love that name? And today we're talking about later dating. Hi, Katrina. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello, Josephine. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So tell me about this idea you have, or concept, or philosophy.
Well, the later data actually came about when a relationship that I was in ended very brutally and suddenly, and I found myself single. In my 50s and single, and I had not a clue that it would happen. And I thought, oh, you know, what do I do?
Well, how long had you been with this person?
I had been with this person for heading up towards 5 years. Mm. And it was kind of, this person was one of kind of a woman's kind of nightmare, in that right to the weekend before, he was taking me round houses and saying, would you like to live here? Would you like to live there? And it really did come out of the blue for me. And
so you thought, I found the man that I'm going to be with forever. You thought that?
I did, because I believed, you know, I believed what he said. So I really did think that this was the one. And it, to the point where, you know, I'd be receiving my House and Home magazines each month. And I knew where I was going. I knew that
you,
I
what
was
kitchen on you were going to have.
I knew it all. And we were living together at this stage. And I thought, right, I've got it. This is where I'm going. So it was an incredible shock when it ended. And I had...
How did it end? Tell us what he did.
Well, it just ended very suddenly. We were staying in London and he just suddenly said, that's it.
I don't want you anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I don't love you anymore. What was his words?
His words were, yes, that. I'm not in love with you anymore. I don't find you desirable.
Oh,
the killer lines. And there I was left in this devastation. And as I kind of came out of it, and it's kind of quite ironic because of the work I do, I'm very aware, you know, it's very difficult for me to be able to say to people, I can't do that work at the moment. I'm having the worst time ever in my personal life, because people will come to me and say, look, Katrina, I'm having a terrible time in my personal life. And being, you know, when you're in the business of coaching or in the business of therapy, you know, it's not about you. So you continue with the job that you do, with all the support you get. Because
you've also got to keep telling yourself how to cope with it, because you're so good at telling everybody else, but this is a completely different thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a dilemma that most women have. We're so good at saying, perhaps you should do this. And so out of that, I had to learn how to recover as fast as I could, you know, because to support myself, to manage and to reconstruct my life. So out of that, I had to recover from heartbreak as fast as I could. And part of recovering is actually getting back out there and learning how to date again, which, you know, it's quite a scary thing, because suddenly, you know, age, gravity, all kinds of things catch up with you. And you think, oh, you know, where do I go? How do I start? What do I do? And you start to, you know, if you're going to go online, you know, some days it can be the funnest thing in the world, and the next day it can be so depressing that you just can't believe it. And then you hear horror stories or wonderful things. And that's where I thought, I need a guide. And I looked around to see what there was, and there wasn't anything. So I thought, here we go. I'm going to write this guide for myself. When I do this training, I do it with a very good friend of mine called...
So tell us what you do then. So you help people... Tell me what you do. How do you help them?
Well, the idea is people will come along to see me. And I work with a colleague too called Susanna Manzucani, who is a beautiful singleton. And she's brilliant. When you look at this girl, you could not imagine for a moment why she would be single. But, you know, she'll kind of say, because that's where she wants to be and that she's overqualified. You know, she's a lovely girl.
So you two will coach people.
Absolutely.
To have confidence in the dating sphere. in the dating world?
Well, absolutely, because there are so many things. We actually have to start with the self, because often when a relationship ends, it can be quite harsh, it can be very brutal, as mine was, or it can
be... Well, someone telling you they don't love you and love and desire you, that's the ultimate rejection, isn't it?
Well, it's quite interesting, because of what I do, I don't rely, and this is what I would kind of aspire for other people to do the same, I don't rely on somebody else's opinion of me to formulate for me to be the person that I am. I don't need someone else's love and approval. So I found it when I was told I don't find you desirable, I didn't take it that I wasn't desirable, I took it that he didn't find me desirable. And again, it was a personal thing. I didn't think I was unlovable. I mean, and thank heavens, because, you know, being a therapist, I've done years and years of work on myself. Otherwise, it would have been even more brutal than it was, and it was pretty brutal. So where I would start with people on any level when they come to see me, I would look at the scripts that they have about themselves, the stories that they tell themselves. We make the script or the core belief about ourselves based on our experience of when we were younger. And there are good scripts and there are kind of quite dark and bad scripts. We'll have a mixture of both.
Everybody does, then?
Absolutely, everybody does.
Okay.
And the thing is, there's a great quote by Henry Ford, and he says, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And this is it. So, you know, as humans, we have, say up to 50,000 thoughts a day. And as a human, every single one of those thoughts that we have, we're going to think is right, whether they are or whether they're not.
Is that because we're telling ourselves our subconscious and it believes whatever we're telling? Is it to do with subconscious?
Our subconscious certainly rules a huge amount of what we do. So we always want to be right. So we will evidence. We will evidence-base the world, you know, depending.
For example?
If we think the world is a good and happy place, we will wander around all day looking for the good and the happy and the bright moments. You know, there are going to be very bad days, but generally we'll be looking for all the positive things.
Like, oh, I had a lovely chat with a lady in Sainsbury's, and oh, the sun's just come out, and look at the flowers.
Yes, yeah. You know, the definitely half full kind of person. Mm. Whereas if we think the world is not good, which will come from a script that we, most of us, have at some point in our life, and the script will be, the core belief will be that we're not enough. And that script will then, it'll be, we're not enough. We'll evidence-base that script all the time.
For example, just give me some.
Well, it's really, really interesting. Not being pretty enough, not having enough time, not having enough money, that kind of, not having enough food. And it's very interesting, the large corporate...
So it's usually not enough of something. We're desiring, and that's making us feel bad.
Well, yes, we're desiring more in ourselves. We're desiring ourselves to be more. And it's very interesting, because the large corporate companies will often use that script, that very script, against us, because it'll encourage us to want more and more.
And magazines.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, Instagram.
Well, if you think about about L'Oreal... Mm. You know, the strapline of L'Oreal being...
Because you're worth it.
Right. Yeah. So if you're not buying that product, you're not worth it. And therefore, you're worthless. And this is how it's done. Mm. And so I believe, particularly women, all the time, you know, we're told we're not young enough, we're not tall enough, we're not blonde enough,
Thin enough.
Not pretty. Yeah, absolutely.
Fit enough.
Yes.
Clever enough.
Absolutely. So we're fed, don't get me wrong, men also are fed the same thing. But, you know, women, we spend more, we buy more, and we worry about ourselves more. And that's where that script comes from. And so if we spend all our time thinking we're not enough, that script also affects other parts of our world. And the world becomes a place where we're not safe. The world isn't safe. So then, because the world's not safe, we start looking for all the things that could go wrong. So we become...
For an example, just quite good for people to hear.
Well, for example, if the world isn't safe, we may walk into a room and we may scan the room for something. We become over-vigilant. We become hyper-vigilant. We look for all the things that could possibly go wrong. And believe me, we find them, you know, and we will evidence space.
What sort of things would we say, walking into a party and you're feeling really negative about yourself? What could be negative in a room like that? Because it's never happened to me.
Well, the kind of thoughts we might have is that no one will like me here. It's not interesting. People are looking at me. I've worn the wrong things. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not clever enough. No one's going to talk to me. So all these little insecurities.
Sorry, that makes me sound really horrible. I have felt insecure at parties. Sorry. I'll be honest.
We all feel a little bit insecure at times.
Yeah, we do. Especially walking in the room. That's the hardest bit, isn't it? And also if you haven't got a partner.
Which brings us back. So imagine having this negativity and this script of not being enough.
Yeah.
And then finding yourself, you know, suddenly being single again and thinking, will I ever be loved? What, you know, what's wrong with me or what am I doing? And so with the later data, what we do is we look at the negative scripts that someone will have and we try and adjust them into being more positive. Because if, you know, if the script isn't working for you, if it's not working out for you, why will you keep repeating the same behavior over and over again? Because you'll keep getting the same results. That's the very definition of madness, isn't it? repeating the same behavior and expecting different results. So one of the first things we would do with the later data is look at adjusting scripts, and we would look at what our part is in it. Are we choosing a particular kind of person? And it will go back to
the core beliefs. Because what's that thing people say, oh, they're my type? What's that all about, your type? Is it a fantasy? Is it your father? What is the type?
Well, that's a very large question. But often we repeat things that are familiar to us because it feels safe. Now, if we have a background where we perhaps have been brought up in a home that's somewhat dysfunctional...
or most of us have.
You know, we're going to look for the familiarity of that. Of course, we don't want someone that isn't going to treat us well. We don't want that. But there's a kind of familiarity about that.
Yeah, with
that.
The control freak.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
and yeah. I do believe as well...
The critical bastard, because that was your mum was always picking on you. That sort of thing.
Yeah, and yeah. We have to kind of learn, you know, in ourselves, you know, we are the adult now and we don't have to repeat that behaviour, but we have to be aware of what we're doing. We have to become aware. That's one of the first things we need to do so that we can see where we, you know, where we accept the responsibility for what is going on. And also, what low standards do we actually have? What have we endured so that someone thinks it's okay to treat us like that? Also, we have to be mindful. One of the other things we look at in the later data is the red flag. When someone is just a little bit too perfect, you know, you know, because we also have to be aware there are lots of people with zero empathy, which can, again...
What, a psychopath, do you mean?
Well, you know, people with zero empathy will range from kind of, you know, different states. A harming state will be you'll get someone with... perhaps you'll have someone that's narcissistic. Someone might have a borderline personality disorder. Someone might be sociopathic. And interestingly enough, in the beginning, these people are perfect. They are so perfect. They're very, very aware. They will express emotion. You'll see them express emotion, but they'll be expressing their emotion. So, for example, if John is with Jill and Jill breaks her leg, John might sit in the corner and sob his heart out. And people will say, isn't that lovely? He's so sympathetic to poor Jill with her broken leg. But John's actually sitting there thinking, oh my God, you know, I'm going to have to go to the supermarket. Who's going to cook my dinner? Who's going to clean the house? So it's nothing to do with him being in tune or empathetic with her. It's all about him. And we do have to, as we get older, we have to watch out for the red flags, you know, in people like that, because they
How do you root them out, though? How do you know? I mean, you don't know till it goes wrong, obviously.
Well, there's the thing. I think sometimes they can almost be too perfect.
Okay.
You know,
when... So the guy that has the great job, brings you roses, yeah. looks perfect.
Yes. Yeah. Because I'm...
So we want the scruffy old bloke down the pub.
That's right. The belches and farts a lot. Exactly. But I think, you know, the first date you go on, they will be perfect. Very little will go wrong.
A smoothie.
A total smoothie. Okay. And they're very convincing. So you might say to them, for example... Oh my gosh, I love cats. And he will have a cat. You love music. He loves music. And he will match and mirror everything that you do. But little bit by little bit, the signs are there. And the truth is, it's whether we choose to see them or not. Myself, I had plenty of opportunity, but I was head over heels. So
Do you think the ex was one of these people?
I would say, in hindsight, wow.
Is it more males that have this?
That's quite interesting. No, I don't believe it is more males at all. I think it'll be spread across. But you know, the signs are there. When you start to date someone, look at the relationship they have with their ex. Look at the relationship they have with their children. You know, they're very convincing. They're very able to say, well, I've had two marriages and they've both been awful. You know, these women, you know, were the worst people you could ever meet. Or my daughter is hideous. And it's actually not to buy into everything they say. You'd love them to be perfect. You'd love them to be the one. But listen and look. The evidence is there. Do they have friends? That's a little bit of a telltale sign if they don't have friends. And, you know, are they their own person? So it's looking for the red flags, being aware that people like that are out there and they are more likely to be single.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to remember that people like that will be repeat offenders. You know, so in a way...
Will they end up controlling you? Is there usually the controller?
On some levels, yes, yeah. absolutely. Yeah. Because often it'll be a love where, you know, things are given to you, then taken away, then given to you, and then taken away, and you just break a little bit at a time. So I think the secret is, you know, for all of us, but particularly for women, because I'm a great fan of women, is to know ourselves, to build ourselves up, to become aware of who and what we are, what extraordinary power and potential we have, and not be in the state where we're looking for somebody else to affirm who we are, to actually know who we are, you know, warts and all. If there are things we need to change about ourselves, we have the power to change them. We can change certain things. To be aware and to know our worth. That's the thing. We're not aware of our worth very often. And so if people treat us quite badly, whereas we'd say to a friend, you don't want to go out with them. You know, when it's us, we say, well, and we'll find excuses for them. But I think, you know, to become strong, to be aware of your worth, and to be aware of your worth, you, one, actually has to start treating themselves with all the worth and value and kindness that we deserve. You know, it's looking after ourselves. Are we doing sport? You know, are we doing yoga? Are we relaxing? Are we eating well? Are we having fun? You know, it's the kindnesses that we show ourselves. Because the one thing I've learned in the work I've been doing, therapy has been probably 9 or 10 years now. The one thing I have learned is that the way we treat ourselves is the benchmark to how other people will treat us. If we don't treat ourselves well, nobody else is going to do that.
So we've got to have self-awareness, self-love, but also we've got to be very honest with ourselves, which I think is what most people don't. That's why people are scared of going to therapy. I have a friend and it's often the people that really need it that don't go. She said, I don't want to go because it'll open a bag of worms. It's like having to look at your soul, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. But, you know, there are lots of different therapies available. I particularly like coaching. Mm. I like coaching people because it can be a lot more kind of directive. And I could say to you, look, Josephine, you seem to keep repeating that behaviour. You know, is it working out for you? Well, what can we do to change it? Whereas, you know, therapy can feel a lot more, you know, with therapy, you can dwell a lot on
how much your mother was cruel to you, or you know, that sort of thing.
Where you feel it, what colour it is, all very justifiable. Mm. But for me,
it doesn't move on though, does
no,
it?
No, I compare kind of coaching, the life check coaching that I do, is very much like if you're injured, you want to go to a good sports physio or physiotherapist that says, like, come on, we need to do these exercises, do you need a massage, as opposed to, you know, what did you have for breakfast? How are you treating yourself? You know, all this kind of thing.
So you're proactive.
I definitely believe we have to grab life. If it's not working, just grab it. Say, gosh, this really isn't working for me, and move on. Absolutely move on.
So how do your clients, can you do it on Skype? I'm wondering, you know,
because
we're very international. We've got a lot of listeners in the States, in Australia, Canada. They could talk to you on Skype, could they?
Absolutely. A lot of coaching is done on Skype, because coaching, you want to, you know, it's kind of like bam, 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 bam. What can we do? How can we change it? Which direction do you want to be in? You know, we need to actually look at that person. And yes, we are going to have to look at, I often work through their decades.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got five, darling. Quite a lot.
Come on, who hasn't here? Some coaches take a tad longer. But we look at what the reoccurring patterns are, because the reoccurring pattern will show you what your script is. And that's incredibly important. Because if the script isn't working for us, why do we keep doing it?
Now, Katrina, I have to ask, what about your love life? So you've done all this, you've sorted out... are you dating? What's going on?
Well, it's funny you should say that, actually. Whilst I was researching the later data, I was trying out various different dating sites, because that's a whole nother story. You know, knowing, you know, what kind of person you want. And I went on a particular dating site for country folk as
such. Oh, Muddy Wellows or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Muddy Matches.
That's it, yeah. I know people have had success. Yes.
Well, and so have I.
They're all lovely. We're all like gamekeepers and things. They're all rather sexy. One man, though, who's contacted my friend and said, "Hello, I grow potatoes."
Oh, you would not believe the amount of offers I had to ride in a tractor.
Fabulous.
So I was actually doing researching. I was doing research for the later data, and that's what came out of my research.
And what does I know? Look, come on, tell us what he does.
Well, actually, he's not a farmer at all. He owns a health spa and gym.
Wow. Why did he go to Muddy Matches?
Because he likes the country.
Wow.
He likes the countryside.
So he wanted a country girl, and he met you.
He did, although
How country are you, darling?
How country am I? I think, I live in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, that helps.
That does help. But then with a job like mine, you would want to do that, just to clear your head every now and again. And I like dogs and cats. I'm not, you know, I'm not kind of into
dog
horses.
Dog walker?
I am a self-confessed dog walker.
Okay, okay.
And I love cats. And, you know, I'm really comfortable in rural. At the same time, please don't get me wrong, I love theatre and fine food. But, you know, there's a balance.
Exactly. Fantastic. So how do people contact you, Katrina?
Well, you can find me... can I give out my phone number?
You can.
Not that I do that all the time.
Exactly, yeah. By the way, she's already taken if any men are listening. I'm sorry. She is gorgeous.
Right. My phone number is 07747... 345384. That's 07747 345384. You can find me at
email address.
My email address is katrina@lifecheck.love, that's what my surname is. So that was great.
Yeah.
You will also find me on Instagram at lifecheck.love. I had to check what you'd find me on. And if you enter Katrina Love, you'll find me as a therapist. But I really, really do like the coaching side. I believe it's a lot quicker. And that's what we need. We need to recover and we need to move on. Life is short. You know, I'm definitely a carpe diem kind of person, we can get to the other side of trauma. We can thrive and flourish. Things become very clear and we get a great sense of perspective. And so at the end of the day, when you can look back over bad relationships, you can think, wow, now that I'm in a good one, I so appreciate that I'm there. Sometimes we need to know what's bad so we can really embrace what's good.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous Day. Perfect for the new year. New year, new you, new man, if only if you want one. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Josephine, and happy new year to all of you.
For more amazing women, go to radiogorgeous.com.